With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Nothing's going to hold me back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. He's Big Lukey Moore.
Hello.
He's Big Jimmy Campbell.
Hello.
And he's Pretty Petite Pete Donaldson.
Hello.
Together again, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely stuff.
We cannot get away from each other, can we?
And it's your fault.
I wasn't expecting you to come to me so quickly. I was mucking around with Jim when the music was on.
Uh-huh.
And then you came to me and I was caught unawares.
As was Pete.
I'm never caught unawares. I'm like a cold spring.
You won't catch Pete with his trousers down.
No.
Sorry, how, what
they're
do you
never
mean
on.
Like a cold spring?
Like a coiled spring.
Oh, a coiled spring. Yeah. I thought you meant a cold spring. Like a sort of a natural...
Like we're experiencing right now, Jim.
Yeah, I can spring up at any moment. Cold spring, coiled spring.
That's not a chap line I would use, Peter.
You can spring up at any moment, just like a Besiktas cat.
What happened there? What?
Well, there was a pitch invader at Besiktas.
Right. I've seen too much of this lately.
And I know, presumably a West Ham fan.
There's a cat complaining about the stadium.
Yeah. So it ran on and
Michael, the corner flag. Scratched the corner flag.
English referee Michael Oliver had to stop the game very briefly.
Of course, there are semi sort of stray cats all over Istanbul.
Mm.
And the people who live there leave out food and water for them. They almost live alongside the people there. It's a really weird situation. So if you go into a cafe in Istanbul and you sat on the terrace or whatever, it's not unlikely to see a cat sat on one of the chairs and you just got to let it sit there.
It is quite strange because normally it's stray dogs in cities.
Yeah, you do see those as well, but they're all tagged in Istanbul.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. But stray cats, don't often see that, do you?
No, you don't.
Yeah, but maybe that wasn't a stray cat. Who knows? Maybe that was a season ticket holder.
Someone's saying, have you seen my cat? And yeah, thousands of people have.
Yeah,
is somebody
millions.
Trying to prove how small the stadium was? Swinging it around.
Yeah, there definitely is enough room just for a cat.
There's not enough room in my seat.
Maybe they're looking at stadium expansion. that is the sort of due diligence.
That is the stated measure you have to do.
Yeah,
so when you're an estate agent, you have to go and look around buildings. They all have a cat in their back pocket and they swing it around. Yeah, you can swing a cat on this one. Yeah, tick it off.
Well,
there we go.
Bashik cat.
Yeah.
Not quite, but there we are. Let's move
not
on.
Not even close, mate.
Very swiftly, Peter. To English football. It's the FA Cup this weekend. Manchester United, they're still in it.
They are.
But they're out of the Champions League.
They also are.
But you know, but just move on, Jim. I mean, it's not a big...
It's good to see all these English,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Mourinho said, I don't want to make a drama out of it. We don't have time
for
that.
No, we know you don't want to.
Yeah.
That's the point. We all know you don't want to do that.
Because you're usually so bad at that, aren't you?
Yeah.
We don't have time for it. I think we do, Jose. Yeah.
We'll find time.
We'll make room in our schedules, yeah. Well, he said, we have a match on Saturday. That's football. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah,
nothing to see here apart from a humiliating home defeat.
Yeah, and a well-deserved one as well, I think it's fair to say, given the way they approach both games. He also said after the game that he's twice sat in that chair as manager of Porto and Real Madrid after knocking Man United out of the Champions League, so it's not a situation they're not used to.
Unbelievable.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Real Madrid. Well, Real Madrid won here.
There's so many layers to that as well, because what it's also saying, in addition to how ridiculous it is, it's also saying, we've lost before, we'll lose again.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we don't want to hear about that now.
You should just be happy we'll go out of a group.
Yeah.
That's essentially what he's saying.
Let's remember some of my past achievements.
Yeah.
When I wasn't the manager,
you were
specifically at your expense.
Yeah. Look how lucky you are to have me.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's absolutely wonderful.
We did say that the way they approached the first game, And we talked about the severe side of things on the continent this week, which people can listen to. And James Horncastle saying, you know, they're quite an eccentric team. You never really know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. But one thing you do know is that if you put them under pressure, they can be beaten. I mean, they concede a lot of goals. Well,
Stephen Nzonzi said, didn't he?
They didn't even try that in Seville.
No, Nzonzi said about the game in Old Trafford when he said, for the first 20 minutes, we thought we'd be pressed, we'd be hurried, because Sevilla are very good with the ball. Mm. You know, they've got about six number 10s in that side. You know, very good ball-playing side. Don't give them room. Look at the way Liverpool played in that first half away in Sevilla. No, they were 3-0 up, I think. Yes, they collapsed and so on. But there's goals in it for you when you play Sevilla. And Sonzi basically said, for the first 20 minutes, they were almost like looking around, scratching their heads.
What's happening, yeah.
I think we can just play here, lads. And then they just thought, right, well, we bloody well will. Yeah. And they got hold of the game. And yes, Manchester United had a few little half chances and a couple of efforts here and there, but four shots on target over two legs. I'm sorry, when Mourinho is asked, were you a bit cautious? And he says, no, the opposite.
What's the honour about?
It's not the opposite. And Lukaku even said in his interview after the game, we were a bit cautious, you know. And I look at this, and when Mourinho's trying to say, let's move on, let's hurry and so on, he is worried about his position at Manchester United.
Clearly.
And with Mourinho, without getting ahead of ourselves, I do wonder, if he was to leave, Luke's prediction to come true, he leaves before the summer.
Should
or
come
in
true,
summer.
He will leave at some point.
Yeah, which summer we don't know. Where does he go from there? Mm. And actually, Mourinho knows that he has to keep this job for at least another 2, maybe 3 years or whatever it is. Mm.
And on the Constant Mailbag show, which will come on Saturday, we talk a bit about Mourinho's potential next move. Mm-hmm. So that's worth looking out for. You should better hear a bit on that there. I found it very, very odd the way... because I feel sorry for Manchester United fans, first of all, purely because we come off the back of the Liverpool game and we go, well, finally, look, that's what Man United are all about. We've seen them be a team of individuals, not really have so much of a plan. It looks a little bit all over the place, yet they still manage to pick up these wins, and that's fine. They beat Liverpool and you go, right, we knew what they were doing there and it worked.
And they attacked them.
Yet 3 days later, they make 5 or 6 changes in terms of personnel and positions, and bring players in, move players around, and they look back to the type of team they were away in Seville in the first leg. Mm. And the idea that a team like Man United at Old Trafford, with all the history and all the money being spent, and the fact that they're one of the biggest clubs in the world, some people would argue they're the biggest club in the world, would not even attack a so obviously flawed, inconsistent Sevilla side. It's beneath the club. It's beneath the status of the club. And one of the things that has come off the back of this, I think the punditry on BT Sport, by the way, is very good, certainly this season. But there was talk in the punditry, I forget which one of them said it, that they need to buy more players. All of a sudden, Man United are a few players short.
It was Roy Keane on ITV.
No, it wasn't. It was on the BT Sport broadcast. Roy Keane said it as well. I didn't see that. That may well be true. The BT Sport broadcast, it was mentioned as well. So it's interesting it's being mentioned other places as well. My take on that is that Man United, fine. If you think Man United are 3 or 4 players short, fine. That's your opinion, you're entitled to it. But I get the impression now that people are starting to forget that managers at the top clubs are also supposed to be coaches. Mm-hmm. You have to... Pep Guardiola is doing very well, partly because he's got a lot of money, but also because he coaches the players. He improves the players. A friend of mine was saying to me after this game, using an example of Paul Scholes and Roy Keane, funnily enough, he said they weren't top players when they first came through.
That's right.
They were coached. Yeah. They were coached properly. And I don't want to get on the back of Mourinho because he's had an amazing career. I do agree with what Andy Brassel said this week, which is that it's very unlike a manager at the top level to go longer than 10 years at the very top and be able to sustain it. So that might be a slightly different angle on it. But what I'd like to ask people listening, and you guys as well, is what coaching is Mourinho doing at the moment?
Well,
he's kind of
putting himself into like a director as a director of football.
It seems like it, doesn't it?
He's just went, no, I can't be asked the actual kind of nuts and bolts kind of coaching a team. What I'll do is I'll sign 11 individuals and see what happens.
That is it. They don't really look like they're running for each other.
Yeah.
Still, Pogba changed the game, didn't he?
In a way, didn't he?
It's like how I play Fantasy League, not Fantasy League, sorry, Football Manager. I don't want to do any coaching. I don't want to do like improve anything. It's really drills and stuff. Boring. So I just sign the players, do the post-match and
get Steve McLaren to coach them.
Get somebody else to coach.
But the amazing thing with that is you would think that would be quite a fun way to manage if you were at an elite club where they would allow you to just buy great players and let them express themselves. Mm. But he doesn't let them express themselves. He sort of blunts them. And it's strange. They don't look like they enjoy playing football. And if you're going to play that Mourinho style, the strength of that in the past has been that it's a slog for the opposition to come up against it. His Chelsea side looked invincible, and it just it was a boring proposition to face them, because you know they'd probably blunt you and win. But this Man United side looked like that without that air of invincibility, and like his own team finding a slog.
Jim, could you see anything in that game to differentiate between a Jose Mourinho Man United team and a Louis van Gaal Man United team?
Not without sort of delving into it with too much depth off the top of my head, you'd have to say no.
I don't know, it's
a grind, isn't it? That's the style. The style is a grind.
And I mean, if you take the Europa League against Ajax, that was a typical Mourinho performance, a bit like Liverpool. We've already cited that. Whereas actually Manchester United, they went out, they didn't give anything away, but yet they got the goals. And Mourinho said manages to get the goals somewhere. It might not be pretty or anything, but they get the goals. It's effective, and it is a results based business. But against Sevilla, it wasn't like that. And I just wonder if Mourinho can still do it at the top level in sort of the Champions League and so on. And
that's how a Man United team are judged.
Man
United are a team who they've gone through a transition because, as I said already this week, Ferguson's shadow is a large one, and we understand that. But Man United are a team who traditionally in the Premier League era pick up Premier League titles as a matter of routine. They judged in a slightly less obvious way, but a similar way nonetheless to the way Real Madrid judge themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they judge themselves on European success these days. And I think you're right. I think there's nothing to suggest at the Champions League level. And Paul Scholes was so dismissive of the Europa League on BT Sport. He was like, I don't care about the Europa League. This is Man United. You picked up the Europa League title. Great, good for you. We were talking about the real thing here, and he actually used the word "the real thing," the Champions League, because that's where Man United see themselves.
Well,
and this is at odds to that, the current situation and what's going on there, because you know, for them to get the probably the plum draw in the knockout stage after getting another easy group as well.
Let me tell you, any team in those quarterfinals now will want Sevilla.
Definitely.
Any team. Definitely. And that's no disrespect to them, because they've given us some good moments this season alone. But just to kind of, I suppose, finish on this, Mourinho, as we've mentioned before, is reducing expectations now. And that goes into what Scholes is saying. Oh, look, this happens, move on. Ferguson would have never have said that. Even Van Gaal wouldn't have said, goodness knows what he'd have said. But it's,
Moyes would have.
Yeah, Moyes would have. Yeah. Moyes would have gone, well, I'm just happy to be in the Champions League. Nearly did it with Everton.
I've never done this before.
but Mourinho, this is a man who won the Premier League a long time ago now, but with Chelsea, was it a record points tally, or certainly one of the biggest points tallies in the Premier League's history. He won La Liga, I believe, with a record points tally with Real Madrid, in among that great Barcelona side with Pep Guardiola across the country when they faced them. This man can go out and win things. We know that. And he can win them impressively. Now, I know people might say, well, that was a few years ago. But I just wonder if now, as I think Mr. Brassel was making the point, is he as flexible as he was?
Well,
is Mourinho just now almost like a caricature of himself? We see this often with managers. You know, they find their way, they get a little bit older and they don't change and so on, which was the genius of Ferguson. He adapted all the time.
I think that's right, because I think in the knockout stage of the Champions League, the precedent now is just to attack.
Moyes got to the quarterfinal, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But what about, let's talk about Brighton, because we need to cover them as well, really.
Yeah, but Manchester United, they are in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup, so it's not all bad. And they're still second in the league.
Yeah.
Jesus, I mean, if they do finish second, you have to say that's an achievement in light of what Manchester City are doing, of course. But they're still there. But they're up against Brighton at home. My fear for Manchester United is we have seen them lose against weaker South Coast opposition at this stage in the tournament.
How could we forget?
And it was a battering as well, wasn't it? They lost handsomely.
You could bring on all the Paul Pogbas you want.
Yeah, you won't get past David James.
The 10-year anniversary of it as well.
Yeah.
So maybe the sign is there for Brighton, a team who have won two away games in the Premier League all season.
Well, they only narrowly lost at Old Trafford before, didn't they? Through an own goal too. So you never know.
Yeah, I mean, Brighton did build up sort of momentum of late, of course.
They're in decent form overall, aren't
I mean,
they
lost away to Everton. But yes, they've got a bit of momentum. I don't know if that loss against Everton will stunt that. But
Anthony Knockout will be suspended for this game, presumably.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a ridiculous thing he did there. But against Leighton Baines as well. Of all the sort of innocent folk you could jump in and...
Are you saying some players deserve it, Mark?
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying
some players you'd like to see get it.
I'm saying that sometimes...
Because of the way they dress.
I'm saying...
The way they carry themselves.
Yeah.
All footballers dress quite hardly, to be fair.
Well, they all dress the same on the pitch.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they don't. The oppositions have different colour strips.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Most of the time, anyway.
He's a very inoffensive chap. If you're going to have red mist, do it for a reason.
The reason that Knockhart got red mist is because he got a ball in the face as well, which is so childish. Yeah. It was the Premier League equivalent of a playground kid saying, "You kick that in my face on purpose, it's my ball, I'm going."
Yeah,
take it.
I played five-a-side last week in one of those, you know, those pickup matches. We got an app and people are already playing like a football match and you can join in if you want, sort of thing. And it's great if like you don't know anyone's playing any five-a-side.
Presumably they all know you though.
I did that and I turned up and an Italian bloke got, he didn't get stamped, but like somebody just put his studs on someone else on his foot, and he went, "I'm literally crying."
Do the impression.
Was it you, Pete?
No, it wasn't me. No, it was a very impressive footballer. Did it as well.
Brighton to go to Old Trafford and win in 90 minutes is 10-1 with Bet365. So £10 returns £110 if they win, and I'm sure we'll see some tears among Man United fans there, Pete.
How jaded will Manchester United be? I mean, apart from beating, with regards to Brighton, apart from beating a very low on confidence Arsenal side, they haven't had a win against one of the big boys this season. Could be a first. Could well be a first. The tie of the round in terms of glamour, I suppose, or certainly how keenly contested it may well be, is probably Leicester City at home to Chelsea. And Chelsea, they're out of the Champions League too. Barcelona, of course, beat them 3-0 on the night. But Chelsea didn't play badly.
No.
They were unlucky.
It was the difference between being ruthless
and Lionel
probably
Messi.
Having Lionel Messi in the team. I think Courtois didn't really shower himself in glory. But, you know, they dominated that first leg, didn't they? And it wouldn't have been outrageous for them to come out of that first leg with a 3-1 win. And of course, in light of what happened, they would have always gone out anyway.
Sure.
But a 1-1 was a bit of a sickener for them.
They should have had a lead, having got the lead. And
Messi is so ruthless. That second goal he scored, where he did that thing which he does so often, where he gets the ball at his feet on the run, and it feels like the game is sped up.
Yeah.
He just goes past play, and you think to yourself, you know, fine, this isn't the vintage Chelsea team of isn't the best Chelsea team we've seen in recent memory or whatever, but it's a good team.
And they're
the current Premier
League
champions. And he just goes past them, like, not even there.
It's like he does an almost like a 1-inch kick, you know what I mean, where there's very little movement from his foot and suddenly the ball is pinged off and he's away. It's like he's passing to himself.
He did a similar thing, Marcus, you'll remember this better than me. My memory of it is quite sketchy, but I remember it being amazing when there was a very, very fiercely competitive Clasico. And it was in a stalemate. And at one point during the game, he just got the ball, went past about three players, stuck it in the corner.
Might have been the semi-final of the Champions League.
So what are you worried about?
Yeah.
600 goals. Rio Ferdinand said yesterday, he's got more goals than I had appearances.
That's incredible. And that's Rio Ferdinand as well. That's amazing. The first goal too, that the incredible sort of guile he had. He was pretending to look for the person he was going to cross to, wasn't it? You see in the replay, this was always like a sort of sneaky
plan. A no-look shot.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, just to have the guile to pull that off and then execute the finish between the goalkeeper's legs. And Courtois' face as well, you could tell him, he was thinking, oh, God, this is the last thing we needed now.
I mean, I was saying that Courtois didn't cover himself in glory, and I don't think he did. But I do also think that for a 6'5" or so keeper, to have the ball hit at that pace right down by your feet, it's a bit of luck involved.
It's tricky.
You can't move your feet and hands that quick.
There was this kind of ironic kind of just like lad Bible or one of those like Jordan that you get businesses.
Are you still working for them?
No, I wasn't allowed back in.
No,
I was too
just
laddie
a fan
for them.
Of them now.
Too laddie for them. But they did this thing of
couldn't
kind
do
of like
chopping people's heads good enough.
Yeah, exactly. Sticking heads on things into films. There was this kind of net that they put in between Courtois' legs and sort of like, he's going to buy it on Amazon, like between the legs of the goalkeeper, like a little net. So if he'd worn that, he wouldn't have been nutmegged or whatever. But I was thinking, what are the rules?
Would that count as a goal?
What are the rules on the keeper wearing like big old flares?
MC Hammer trousers.
What would be the rules on that?
Kirai used to wear huge trousers, didn't he? So sneakily kept
Dimitri Karim wearing like jeggings.
Yeah.
Like, where's the rules? Could you wear like big old Carhartt shorts?
Oh, Grandad, you did a football show when Lionel Messi was in his pomp. What did you talk about? Mostly tracksuit bottoms, to be honest.
But it would take the wind. It would take the wind out of the shot a little bit, wouldn't it?
It would. I don't think it's allowed. Let's look it up.
Yeah, train your goalkeepers better before you go down that road.
Yeah, okay.
Do you think Leicester have got a chance in this game? They have, haven't they?
Yeah, I think they very much do. But you moved on ever so slightly.
Sorry, mate. I just wanted to talk about Leicester.
I just thought it was nice to see Giroud back in the Champions League.
Yeah, I thought he did okay as well, yeah. By the way. I thought he did pretty well. Yeah. He put himself about a bit. He had to go off with a little bit of a knock, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Sorry, I've just got something in my eye.
But yes, Leicester, I think, will fancy the chances against a Chelsea side who, yeah. of course, have had a grueling away leg in the Champions League. But Chelsea, they've only won 5 out of 17 matches in all competitions in 2018. That is not a great record. No, I understand that they've played some of the top sides, and obviously Barcelona twice, but 5 out of 17 for the current champions in a side like Chelsea is not good enough, really. No. And those victories, I should add, have been against Palace, Hull, West Brom, Brighton and Newcastle.
Mm. Leicester, games absolutely. Leicester are better than those sides.
And Leicester have only lost 2 of the last 13 in all competitions as well.
They've also never won the FA Cup.
Leicester?
So, which is an amazing one, isn't it? It's really surprising.
Yeah, because you remember them winning the League Cup.
Yeah, quite. But you would think they will really want to get another piece of silverware, you know, during this era where they're having, you know, the best time the club has ever had.
Oh, absolutely.
Even now. And they'll be so, so motivated.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wouldn't be a huge upset, but you'd have to say it would be an upset of sorts because Chelsea will be the favourites for this game. But I was saying earlier, in earlier rounds of the Cup, I think Leicester could really do something here. They've been away in Marbella for a 4-day warm-weather training camp. I mean, when does it ever go wrong when Leicester go away for a little jaunt?
But the players love a warm-weather training camp these days. Yeah. Man City done that as well.
You would, though, wouldn't you?
I don't know if I would. We talked about this before. I quite like staying at home.
We're going to Naples soon.
It's not a training camp, as I understand it.
It's our equivalent, though.
What? Yeah. Well, Danny Simpson said they've been training hard, but having some nice socialising times together, too.
I bet they have.
Yeah. Bodes well. Yeah. Mm. Leicester City.
But, you know, they haven't been given the runaround by Lionel Messi in Spain, though, have they? So, you know, they're still at an advantage.
I can't imagine Danny Simpson saying, yeah, I've had some nice socialising times.
Yeah, that's how I interpreted it.
The draw after 90 minutes in this game is 12-5 with Bet365, and so £10 will return £34, including stake if the game ends in a stalemate. We're going to talk about the England squad on Monday, aren't we?
We are.
Okay, good.
But just the mention of Danny Simpson got you going.
Yeah, it did. I'm hoping he gets a nod. No, because people will be confused because it comes out this afternoon.
That's right.
Yeah. Aaron Ramsey not going to China or not going to be involved in the China Cup. That's news.
Is that right?
Breaking news.
He's unlikely to get in the England squad, though, isn't he?
He's having a the World squad, I mean.
Yeah.
I don't think we're doing the China Cup, are we?
I don't know.
The first I've heard of it. We're doing the Russia Cup, I think. if the government let us. Yeah. And now it's time for correspondence with PED.
Hello, Tom in Tasmania, Australia. G'day, Rambus. Following the discussion in the last show about Marcus's leave no man behind policy for the English World Cup squad, I thought I'd
150 men it is up to now.
I thought I'd do a quick bit of research into what's possible. Using the Football Manager database, as of July 2017, there were currently 13,898 professional / semi-pro players eligible to be called up to the side. If we were to assume that Marcus wanted to take all of them
and myself
to Russia, we could actually do it with one single vessel. The world's largest container ship, the CSCL Globe, carries 19,100 shipping containers. So the FA could purchase around 14,000 of those, convert them into little homes, load them onto the ship and sail the entire nation's football prospects to Russia in one go. The bonus of this approach is that England wouldn't even need to find an onshore housing for the players in Russia.
And also, David Nugent would be in the squad.
Exactly.
That's my favourite email of the season.
Yeah. The only fly in the ointment would be the England games, obviously. I'd suggest that the FA utilise the RAF's 8 C-17 Globemasters, each holding 100 paratroopers to parachute up to 800 players into the horse town at any point.
Yeah, you can't take 13,000.
That'd go that well the political climate, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We're parachuting in.
I realise reducing the national pool from roughly 14,000 players to a top 800 would be a tough ask, but it's one I'm sure Marcus is up to. Let's make that very clear. He's not.
No.
He likes a lot of players.
I reckon I could cut it down to 800.
Yeah. If you had 800, how many forwards would you take?
About 300.
Yeah. P.S. I realise that the idea of trafficking humans in shipping containers isn't the best PR look, but something tells me that's law on the FA's list of worries.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to... Was it Tom, his name?
Yes. Tom in Tasmania.
Problem solved.
So here we go.
Sorted.
Problem solved.
Sorted.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm surprised, because the reason this is so interesting to me, you're doing this, is because I genuinely find it hard to pick 11 players that I want Inga to play in
Russia. but that's what I mean. I overcompensate by just chucking them all there.
Yeah.
A blunderbuss approach. Hello to Michael Dunn. After listening to Monday's show and hearing of Steve Cottrell's phone call to his bank... it made me remember taking a call from the then Burnley manager to query his mobile phone bill. So we got another person in situ at a call centre when Steve Cottrell has given them a call. As a Newcastle fan, again, I had to avoid winding up Steve about his ill-fated yet hilarious time as assistant to Howard Wilkinson at Sunderland, but what followed made me question how this man could supposedly organise his life, let alone a football team. Steve was asking if the calls he made last week while abroad and a pre-season training trip were showing on last month's bill, as he couldn't see them. After explaining to him that the bill was from last month, so the calls that he made last week would not appear until his next bill, he then asked why. It took several attempts to get this message across, to the extent that I felt like Father Ted explaining the small and far away cows to Father Dougal. He eventually ended the call, thanking me for the explanation, but I'm still convinced this very day that he didn't understand a single word. Michael Dunn, thank you very much for that one. Finally for now, Mike Williams, I'm getting excited about the ex-Newcastle defender.
Ex-Pompey player as well, wasn't he?
I once sat next to him in a casino while he gambled.
What were you doing? Were you just an innocent bystander?
I was just hanging around. I'm sure it was all gambling, wasn't it? I was. Following your chat last week about the nutritional value of Jaffa Cakes, it reminded me of a story about Rangers and Scotland legend Barry Ferguson. After signing for Blackburn in 2003, his son was in the same class as my younger brother. This is around about the time the government set about trying to improve kids' health by encouraging the prohibition of sweets and chocolate in primary schools, playgrounds, up and down the country. A letter was sent home to all parents advising against sending a child to school with tasty treats in their lunchbox, and mums and dads were educated should the rules be broken. Very 1984, he says. One lunchtime, the headmaster confiscated Barry's lad's box of Jaffa Cakes, stating they were unhealthy. Upon hearing this, knowing that Jaffa Cakes are recommended by sports nutritionists and the Blackburn Rovers team doctor, Barry took matters into his own hands. The headmaster was slightly in shock to receive a visit from a Premier League footballer in the peak of his career to advise him on the health benefits and energy-boosting qualities of Jaffa Cakes.
There we go.
As a result, the majority of kids saw the son of a footballer was allowed to eat Jaffas and set the trend for the rest of the term.
There we go.
What a hero.
Pete, we've still got to do our Jaffa Cake Challenge.
Yeah.
People are calling for it. I want us to do a box each, and whoever finishes them first wins.
That's better than me trying to attempt two boxes and you attempting one box.
With the use of a tea. Some people queried the use of, like, the drinking of tea with Jaffa Cakes as if that was tradition, but I think you just wanted lubrication.
I said I could do twice as many as Luke with tea.
Yeah. But the tea was purely just, you know, for masticating yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Not it's not like a thing people do, is it?
Pete.
No,
tea and Jaffa Cakes.
I'll have a tea with a Jaffa Cake.
But I don't think you...
I don't dip.
I've dipped before.
There you go. I'll dip again.
All right.
I'll dip again. I'm unrepentant.
Okay, well, let's go to the break where we're going to have a quick masticate.
Marcus.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's like the People's Front of Judea. Nobody can make a decision. Meetings about meetings.
Welcome back, everybody. There's a meeting at Wigan this weekend. It's Wigan Athletic versus Mark Hughes' Southampton.
Do you smell a cup set?
Oh, surely this is the one.
So how does the appointment of a new manager affect the cup set matrix, Marcus?
Well, could be a bouncy.
Yeah.
but with Will Grigg in there.
You never
Max
know.
Powers. I think that this is... I mean, surely everyone's got this down as the cup set. Wigan have not disappointed. They've done this the hard way.
Yeah.
Getting to the quarterfinals.
Beat
obviously.
Man City.
Yeah, but even before... I mean, it's the obvious one. But even before that, you know, they were beating sides above them. But yes, Pellegrino is gone. That smug look on his face is not there. Mm. He is not the Southampton manager right now anymore.
He is an ex-Southampton manager.
Yes, but can Hughesy stop the rot at Southampton? The former Saints player, of course, given a contract until the end of the season and will reportedly earn a £1 million bonus if he keeps them up. And Hughes himself said, "I bring experience of the Premier League and I've won a lot of points in my career as a Premier League manager. It's about coming in and giving different messages from myself and the staff." Presumably, those messages are, try and win.
Shake my hand.
He's an... an odd appointment as far as that he's not someone who immediately springs to mind as a specialist to get someone out of trouble last minute.
No, he takes quite a while to get going, if I remember rightly.
But at Blackburn, Pete, he did do exactly this job, although that was a long time ago now. Mm. But I quite like the fact that because he's known as an ex-Southampton player, he was absolutely shocking for them in terms of goal scoring. I think he only scored 2 goals. His whole time there, and he was there for 2 seasons.
I think he scored one. You remember the old nets at the Dell?
The smaller ones.
Yeah, I think Hughes scored a volley, and he smashed it so hard it hit the advertising. And came out again. Came out, and the ref thought it hit the post.
Yeah. That's a fairly well known.
Southampton had 3 goals,
but he only scored 2. Yeah, I suppose it's 3. But give him a 50% increase on his goal return.
But I mean, he's presumably Southampton will be better at volleys in the coming weeks.
Yeah, that'll be the training, heads and volleys. That's it. That'd be great.
You presumably, if they went into this game with Pellegrino in situ, we'd be sat here saying, fancy Wigan for this.
Oh, if Pellegrino's still there, Wigan all day.
So how does Hughes affect this?
Well, he is a British manager of a certain age. It'll be all about the basics.
Yeah.
Run more. Yeah. You know, put in bigger challenges. Yeah. Commit more. And I know that sometimes we think it is a bit old school in one sense, but actually all those things are as relevant in the game today as they ever were, you know, in the past. And Southampton have not really been doing that much. You know, you saw the reaction of their players, and I forget Pierre Højbjerg said, you know, after the game, he was just shaking his head, going, the commitment, the attitude, it's all wrong. And when it gets to that stage, you think no matter what tactical information that the manager is giving his players, it's going wrong. You can stuff them with all the tactics you want, the simpler
it's
the application, and the application's gone, and it's not been there for a while. Yeah. And Southampton fans, certainly the handful that I know, were pleased that Pellegrino's gone. Mark Hughes, we'll see. But Hughes is a no-nonsense type of chap. Mm. He may well take a little while to get going sometimes, but you just want sometimes that old-school British approach just for the short term, which is why he's probably been given a contract just to the end of the season, which is only a few months away.
Yeah.
Because who knows if he would stay there long-term, see if he does a good job or not, but just up and at him, because some players.
Absolutely, because, I mean, they have clearly lacked a plan, as we've been saying for a while. So you don't know what they're trying to do on the pitch, and Mark Hughes is going to give them something to do, and as you say, it's going to be incredibly, incredibly simple and straightforward. And he's made the point, you know, since being appointed, he said, I've won a lot of Premier League points in my time, which is an interesting way of looking at it. You don't really hear managers refer to their sort of points tallies.
Well,
on
he can't
their
say
CVs,
trophies, can he?
No, well, he can't, but it's still an interesting point because he does know how to get results in a quite canny way if he has to. Because, I mean, obviously, Stoke are in the doldrums at the moment, you know, and partially as a result of his tenure, but he had them finishing very high. He knows
what he's
doing. He
was there for
a
long time.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it went stagnant and it happens, doesn't it? But so if it doesn't work out, he will have played a part in relegating both Stoke and Southampton, which would be quite interesting.
And QPR.
This season, which wouldn't be a great one for the season.
We said in the summer that Stoke looked like they're in trouble. They're bang out of fresh ideas, and you could see that coming a mile off. And Hughes is a long time ago, but he did a good job at Blackburn when he came in there.
Well, he did a good job at Fulham
That got him the job at Man City, which people forget. It's a big club these days, but they were still a fairly big club then. The issue is for Southampton is they don't score enough. If you look at their chances created, it's not that bad. They create quite a lot of chances, which you perhaps expect with someone like Tadic and Ward-Prowse and one or two others.
That's what I mean. They've got some players in
there. Yeah, so it might not be as dire a situation as perhaps it seems. I think they should have moved earlier with Pellegrino. They're still giving themselves a chance. Yeah. They've got, as I said on Monday, they've got a better chance now than they did have with him in there.
Well, we thought it was too late, but...
But Wigan are a good team, Marcus. They're a canny team. I've seen a bit of them this season. Obviously, we all saw them at Man City where they were impressive, but I've seen them a few times this year. Don't concede goals. Nope. They're very well organised.
And scoring lots of goals as well.
Indeed.
In the league. So.
They're ranked outsiders to lift the FA Cup this season. They're 50-1 with Bet365 to win it. £10 returns, £510, including the stakes, should they do so. If they win this, they're in the semi and they're a part of the conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And let me tell you something again. These things do matter in football. Yes, tactics and the ability of your players are absolutely enormous. But the fact is, Wigan have beaten better sides in this competition and they have beaten perhaps the best side in Europe. They will look at Southampton, they're at home, and they'll think, we're up for this. And that makes all the difference. And Southampton will think, bloody hell, this lot beat Manchester City. Oh, Southampton weren't far off getting a result themselves, lest we forget. But Southampton will be licking their wounds. Can Hughes get them up for this? Can he raise it? But ex-Pompey manager Paul Cook would love to get one over Southampton, wouldn't he?
I think he probably would, but I don't think he cared that much about Pompey.
I know, but I just wanted a little extra.
It's a Mudge game, isn't it, caring too much about Pompey?
Yeah, tell me about it. My life is testament to that.
I just wanted a little extra narrative in there. And then the final quarter-final, of course, involves Tottenham Hotspur. Harry Kane, he's only out for 6 weeks. When they were going, oh, we could miss the World Cup, I was like, don't start that.
Yeah.
Nonsense. Stop it. Yeah, absolute nonsense.
You're not having that.
He's driving, he's piloting one of them planes.
We do not want to see a son pull out.
No.
Where we all pray together for Kane to be fit again.
Yeah, where's Yuri Geller when you need him? That's what I wonder. Oh, man, yeah. So he should be out for about 4 to 6 weeks or something like that.
Quick straw poll.
Yes.
Is a woman's place in the home?
Oh, God.
Here we go.
You want to explain this, Jim?
You couldn't let it go, could you?
No, I couldn't let it go.
I mean, I could edit this so badly for you, Jim.
Explain quickly, Jim.
I'll explain quickly. Spurs accidentally sent out a survey, didn't they, to some of their US supporters or customer base that somehow, due to an error, there's nothing to do with Spurs apparently, it included the question, do you agree with the statement a woman's place is in the home? Incredible.
I like the fact
someone
that
is getting fired there, aren't they?
I like the fact that you even acknowledge that it's nothing to do with Spurs, but you still bring it up straight away.
Any Arsenal fan these days, they'll take any chance.
Got to take what you can at this point.
Isn't Arsenal's place in a football club? That's what I would say.
His place is in the home now. I think a lot of Arsenal fans would argue. But they're away to Swansea, of course. But I mean, Spurs, can they continue their cup run and finish in the top four without old Hazard Kane? I mean, we've got to say that Heung-Min Son, the way he's been playing and scoring the goals, they should be okay.
And he's ably deputised for Kane in the past. I don't think this is actually going to affect him too badly.
It's a bit of a 6-2-3s because we've talked. Lots of people talk quite, because Kane's such an important player. There's a lot of chat about whether they miss him or not. And there was a period of time he missed, I think towards the end of 2016, last season, when he missed 10 games and they lost two of those. But neither of those were league games. They were undefeated in the league games to play without him. But he missed a couple of games at the end of October with a slight hamstring pull, I think. And they lost both those. They lost at Old Trafford in the league. And I think they lost to West Ham in the League Cup.
Yeah.
And when Kane missed out Old Trafford, they played Ali just behind Son. But they still lost the game. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see.
He's a huge loss. There's no doubt.
100%. But Llorente's got a hat-trick in the FA Cup this season, and he used to play for Swansea. And you can do all the tactical analysis you want, but players score against their old teams. We know it just happens.
Yeah. Also, as well, Spurs will be so motivated to get to Wembley in the FA Cup because it will feel like home advantage.
Completely. But also, Spurs want to win a trophy. I mean, people go on about Pochettino. Well, he can't be considered, you know, one of the top managers and blah, 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 blah until he wins a trophy. And whatever you may think of that statement.
Well, obviously, they want to win it. Don't they?
Of course. Yeah. You know, if you're in a competition, you want to win it.
But the game Kane came back was the Real Madrid game. They beat them 3-1 at Wembley in the Champions League. He didn't score, but he played very well in that game. They've got a lot of key games he's going to miss, Kane. And it's not done and dusted, this top four.
Well, that's why I asked the question.
I think he's likely to be back for the FA Cup semi, should they go through, which is the 21st, 22nd of April. The Spurs statement I saw, now I understand there may have been an updated one since then, but the one I saw said he'll return to training next month. So that could mean he returns to training on the 30th of April. It doesn't mean he's going to be back.
Yeah.
So you just don't know. Ligaments are a tricky thing.
They're a very tricky thing. And we don't want him rushing back and jeopardising England's second round hopes at the World Cup.
We can do that ourselves. Yeah. So, do you think, because haven't Swansea got a few players missing themselves?
They do indeed, yeah. Fir, Bonnie and Sanchez are out. I mean, Sanchez hasn't sort of pulled up too many trees.
He's got big issues, hasn't he?
Indeed, yeah. But Fir and Bonnie, Swansea have been missing one or two players for a few weeks now. But Swansea, you know, with Spurs without Kane, Swansea have the home advantage. Carvial, he will fancy this, and
Son is a player that you can't leave at this point in his form. You can't leave him out anyway.
No, he's always arriving at the right time for me. He's so quick, and he's always his decision making. He's a very precise footballer. I think
you've really thrown me off there because you just took your glasses off.
Sorry.
And I looked over and I was like, is that
Superman?
Yeah. That's why he was making a big...
No, Jim's done it.
He's making a big point.
I've had my headphones on for about 2 hours and it's starting to hurt my ears a bit. Starting to dig in.
But Carvial, he's obviously got more points on the board at Swansea in the league.
me and Jim have just swapped glasses.
Yeah, indeed.
Sorry, Marcus, I'm listening.
If you wouldn't mind.
Whoa!
Pete, you look exactly the same. Jim, you look like a pervert.
So exactly the same.
Hey, Jim, the things that have been seen through those lenses.
Oh, dear. This is actually getting very, very quickly,
Vision
very
Express
murky.
Specials.
I've realised it's not really an audio feature, this.
No. Not really, no.
Carry on, Marcus. I'm listening.
Sorry, look, I just got to say, you've taken your trousers off.
Yeah.
No, they were always off.
Okay, right.
It happens.
Yeah. He just hadn't stood up. but yeah, with Swansea, you know, he's got better results under Carvajal thus far. But he's also he's getting better out of the quality that they have. The Ayew brothers have been evident there, but instilling a fighting spirit. That point they got away to Huddersfield with Ayew being sent off early on, of course, was, you know, Huddersfield had 30 shots on goal and Swansea had none.
Yeah.
But they got a point. They got a clean sheet, and the way they kind of celebrated that, there's a togetherness there. And Alfie Mawson recently said of the manager, whatever he's doing, it's working. I love that. He can't pinpoint it, but whatever it's doing,
I'm one of his players, and I don't know.
I wasn't paying attention to him, honest, but it's definitely working.
This goes into what we said about, you know, can Hughes raise Southampton? But Mawson said of the manager, we're feeding off him. He's funny. He's a laugh, which is always important.
Mm-hmm.
But when he gets
basically
down to business,
entertainer.
Yeah. Yeah. When he gets down to business, he means business.
I also quite like Swansea's running. Got a lot of winnable games.
Yeah,
they look. I mean, it's sort of dangerous stuff to say they're safe, but they look in good shape now compared to what they were before, because they've got so many winnable games coming up between now and the end of the season. They play Stoke, they play Bournemouth, they play Everton at home, they play West Brom, play Southampton. So they're going to get enough points to stay up. But they're 13-2 to beat Spurs on Saturday, so £10 with Bet365 will return £75, including stake, should the Swans do the business in 90 minutes. But I think Spurs look good still. I still like them as a better team without Kane.
Do you know
what?
You
never know, you never know.
I fancy a... to sweep the board with cup sets, I fancy Brighton, I fancy Leicester, I fancy Wigan, I fancy Swansea.
That'd be some semi-final.
Imagine
that,
it. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
But Luke, what is the best bet with Bet365?
You'll be pleased to know that the Rodden family are yesterday's news.
No more family members left.
No, to be fair to the Roddens, they sent an email in saying, well, we have got more family members, but we're gonna leave it there.
We're
gracefully stepped down.
I think they've had their chance.
Yeah, they have, and so good for them, and much love to all the Roddens. Of course, this one comes from Dave Harrison. He says, I would like it to be known that I am not related to, am an acquaintance of, or, to the best of my knowledge, ever be in the same room as any of the Rodden family or extended family, and am thus qualified to rid the Bet of the Week hot seat of the Rodden curse.
This is like when the Simpsons went on witness protection and it replaced the Simpsons with
the Thompsons.
The Thompsons.
I would like to give poor old Everton a break this week and pick on the even more terrible Southampton instead. You'll see why this one got in. All cup ties need to be decided this weekend, but I think Wigan can see off the rudderless Saints in 90 minutes on Sunday, which is a generous 5-2 on Bet365. A cup set you can get behind, Marcus.
Damn, I've got behind them all. Four cup sets I'm going for.
He said if they can pull this off, not only would the League One club get a day out, but there will be a nice bit of cash raised for Prostate Cancer UK. So that's from Dave Harrison. Thanks for that, Dave. £50 on Wigan to win at 5-2 with Bet365. Will return £175, including stake, should Paul Cook's men cause a cup set. All proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK, and you must be over the age of 18 to gamble. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org.
I think it's fair to say if Wigan do get through, then old Cookie, he might have a little glass or two.
I'm sure he will. Sure, why wouldn't
he? Will he be dipping his cockies in it?
Could be.
I think the less said about that,
could be,
the legally better. Yeah. Luke, let's look ahead to the weekend.
I haven't done looking ahead to the weekend this week. I've done something else instead.
No way.
So I've gone for Wigan play Southampton this weekend, as we've heard, and their attacking midfielder, Gary Roberts, has signed for manager Paul Cook roughly 140 times in his career. What's your favourite example of a player following a manager around?
Oh, nice. I like this.
I like that.
So people have got in touch with Niall Carr. Hello to you, Niall. Alex Bruce has made a career of pretending to be a footballer at all of his dad's clubs. Joey Burwood says, Paddy Kenny and Neil Warnock surely have to be related, having signed them five times over his career. However, I do recall a certain Junior Lewis following Peter Taylor round like a bad smell, and I believe six times may well be the record. Surprisingly, for some reason, though, Lewis didn't get a call up to the England squad during Taylor's caretaker spell. That would have been a truly magnificent turn-up. Darren Booty, great name, Darren Booty. Jim Smith on Dion Burton.
Ooh,
that used to be a running joke down at Portsmouth that Dion Burton had something over Jim Smith because they played together at Portsmouth as well. And Viren Moen, I'll leave with this one from Viren, who says, Crouch Defoe Kranjkai.
Yes!
They should have a travelling club like the Harlem Globetrotters, Redknapp's Rovers.
It's Tarantino-esque, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the same actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. So that's what I did this week. I might think of something else next week.
That's a lovely old job.
Getting a bit bored of looking ahead to the weekend.
Yeah, fair enough.
So are the listeners, probably.
Maybe.
If they make it this long in the show.
I don't know. We will have a weekend, though.
We do.
But there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. I'm giddy with cup set excitement, but
you sound like it.
Giddy with something.
Indeed. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
See you later.
Goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.